Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Welcome to another episode of Rock That Relationship. We're here today in our series all about self-work, self-growth, self-love, all the stuff about being your best self. So today we're actually talking about a really cool, interesting topic that I'm excited to explore because really thinking about it in terms of self-growth is just a new way of kind of pondering what this idea is. And that is self-journeys, traveling alone, solo traveling. What does that mean? Or even just when we say traveling, maybe it's not even a trip, but going out on your own, going to dinner, just being with yourself. So I don't know. Let me start by asking you this, Tracy. How comfortable are you being alone?
I'm fine being alone.
Like, is there a threshold though? Like you're fine for 8 hours, but then you'd like to have some interaction, or like you're fine like indefinitely?
I don't know how much I've ever actually really been alone other than in my house, but I mean, I'm fine traveling alone and doing stuff like that. I always meet people in the airport, meet people where I'm going. And I tend to do, you know, trips that are, there's a group activity involved. Plus, okay. I'm very good at meeting people right away. So when people say, oh, my God, you travel alone. It's like there's so many people to meet out there, you know?
Right. So your idea of being alone, I mean, even I know when you go hiking alone, you still talk to people. You go to an event alone, you could talk to 15 different people and end up on Facebook with them. So, you know, maybe you start alone, but you don't always end up kind of by yourself in the process.
I mean, I'm not like going to the woods and sitting by myself for a month.
No, I couldn't do that either.
Some people can. Some people do silent retreats and stuff.
I know. I think about that. And I think about how that would be very challenging for me to do that. But
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I can be by myself. I'm by myself a lot. And I think a lot of people like you and I have talked about this don't know that, but like working from home, you know, can be very, you know, quiet and very alone. And so like sometimes I'll go a day without having any kind of meetings or class or anything. And I'm like, maybe I should go to the grocery store just so I can talk to someone. It's not that I can't be alone. It's
just on the phone all the time though.
Yeah. I mean, I do talk on the phone, not as much as I used to, but yeah. And so it's just quiet, right? It's just like I'm alone most of the day. And then in the evening, it's like, oh, I want to do something. Again, not out of can't be alone, but I'm an extrovert. I feed off of other people. So I kind of need that. But I'm not nervous to go out alone. I don't think there's only one thing that I probably feel a little bit less comfortable doing alone, but I will do everything else alone. And that's like hiking in a place that I'm relatively unfamiliar with.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it's like a somewhere that's local that I go all the time, I'm totally fine going by myself. But just for safety, it's not because I'm not my own best company, but really for safety reasons. But I travel alone. I go out to eat alone. I go out and do stuff alone all the time, not just run errands. But I'm like, oh, I'm gonna spend the day with myself today. I'm going to go do all the things that I love to do and spend time alone.
Yeah, I don't really do. I mean, I do whatever needs to be done. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? If it works out that I can be with someone and if it happens to be my wife, like, great. But I'm not going to not do stuff, you know?
Right.
Because she's not around.
Yeah, if you don't have someone to do it with. It was interesting. I have this, when I graduated from college, all I wanted to do, I was in Arizona. I went to Arizona State. And I wanted to drive from ASU all the way across the country and go to Disney World. And I asked everybody I knew, I was like, does anybody want to come with me? I want to go on this like road trip. I'll drive. We'll go to Disney World. It'll be awesome. And either people couldn't go, they didn't want to go, the scheduling, whatever it was. And I ended up having no one to go with. So you know what I did? I canceled the trip. I was like, I'm not going to go.
No one's going to go. I can see that.
Yes. But two years later, when I graduated with my master's degree, I was like, I'm going to go to Disney World and I'm not going with anybody. I'm going by myself because guess what? I'm not going to let anybody tell me that, you know, or like I'm not going to have anything stop me from going and doing what I want to do. But as soon as I sort of declared to the universe that I was going by myself, everybody wanted to go with me.
Some people wanted to go.
And I was like, well, I don't really want you to go. I'm all excited about my trip now. I don't want to have to stop at the restaurants you want to stop at. And I don't want to have to go on all the rides you want to go on. And it ended up that I met a friend halfway, picked her up and we went. So I got sort of half of a road trip alone. Mm. But it was really interesting. Once I changed my mentality, it was like all of a sudden I became that much more attractive to go on this trip with.
Well, that is interesting. I think that like oftentimes when we accept things, then it's like the act of accepting it. It doesn't mean that you have to stick with it, right? But that right. you accept it.
Right.
That came up in that movie, Come See Me in the Good Light, where Andrea Gibson accepted that this medication was going to make her not be able to speak. And she's a spoken word poet, and she accepted it. She did the medication, and then it actually didn't take her voice away.
Okay.
So but she had accepted that it would, right? So right. like, I think it's the act of accepting and deal, you know, like this is just what it's going to be. I mean, are you ever truly alone? Like, I don't, you know, unless you're like going out into the woods. I've never done that for weeks at a time. I've done it, you know, solo hiking, but, and I'm always armed because I wouldn't go to the woods by myself without being armed. But I wouldn't do like in the 1980s or 90s, like a road trip by myself. I mean, people didn't have cell phones back then.
Yeah, that was my Disney trip. We didn't have cell phones back then. I just had I had my road map atlas, my Rand McNally or whatever in the car, and I was just going to take off. And I used to do that all the time, though. When I was in high school, my mom worked for the airlines, and I had a buddy pass. So for $5, I could jump on any flight standby that the airline was going. And I was in Phoenix, which is a huge hub for this airline. And I, for whatever reason, I don't know why, my mom actually handed me this little pass to put in my wallet. And I was 16. I had a car. And this is pre-9/11. So you could sort of just walk in and get on an airplane. So I would just go into the airport and get on an airplane. And then, you know, and then my mom, I'd call my mom from wherever I was and say, I'm in Chicago. And she'd say, get your butt home, you know. And
But did you ever leave the airport?
Yeah, I went to a friend's one time because I lived in Chicago at one point. I went to a friend's. Mm-hmm. I went to Vegas, I think it was, California. But yeah, so it was like I always had this sort of free spirit about me. I was like, you know, who else is going to be able to afford to go on a flight with me? No one. So I'm just going to go and do what I want. And the same thing happened when I got out of basic training in the Army. I was sort of I had this little overnight bag because I didn't know where I was going to go or what I was going to do. And I drove down from Phoenix to Casa Grande, or, you know, where they had the old outlet mall. It's no longer there. And I was like, I'm just going to go to the outlet mall. And then I decided I'm going to go to San Diego. So I went to the outlet mall and then drove to San Diego for a couple days. And I was like, I just need to go. And I went by myself. And so I've done a lot of solo traveling, a lot, since I was very young, and just to go enjoy it. But so by the time I got to college and no one would go to Disney World with me, it almost surprised me that I didn't go because I had done that so much. But maybe because of the nature of the trip was really long.
Well, right. To go and also be on rides and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Usually it's better when you're in a pair on rides. You're sitting next to some stranger who vomits on you on a roller coaster.
Well, yeah, that'd be awful. So,
I mean, I go to San Diego and stuff by myself.
Yeah. You take your dogs. I know you've done that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just kind of easier sometimes, but I don't do it. I have nothing to do it now, but the last time I went to San Diego, there were, you know, two adults and a child in the car. And then the child did not want to sit with the dogs in the back. And then I had to sit in the back with the dogs. And I was like, I'm not ever doing this again.
Yeah. Well, you learn something about yourself, right? We talk about like self-growth.
That I don't want to sit in the back of the car with the dogs now.
Yeah. But I mean, that's important, right? Because when we do these trips, we think, you know, you and I could just be talking about this. Like, hey, I took a trip. But we learn a lot about ourselves. Like the fact that I would be okay getting on a plane and going somewhere and coming back felt less isolating because I'm around other people in an airport and an airplane. And I had someone in charge of my transportation. But I know that if I were to do a road trip, I probably don't want to drive more than about 8 hours by myself for safety.
Because you'd be bored?
I don't know if I'd be bored. I entertain myself so much. It's ridiculous. So probably more just that I would just be maybe a little lonely, maybe.
Because safety, I mean, you could run into safety problems 2 hours into the trip. Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like it's more boredom about longer trips. But some people really like that. And they find themselves, you know, I mean, traveling to Asia is 30 plus hours. It's not like, you know, I do meet people and talk to people in the airport, but it's not like I'm traveling with them, you know?
Right, right.
Like, I don't need somebody to, I don't know. I mean, I've done a bunch of solo travel. I like it, but I also, you know, I'm married, so I don't want to go. Why would I want to go? I'm not that kind of person who's like, oh, I need it to be free or be who I am. No, I'd rather go with my wife, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, it doesn't mean anything to me in that way.
There's just a lot of places that I go or I like to go that other people might not want to. I mean, you know, I do a lot of speaking, and so I'm gone a lot.
Right.
And I'm always by myself for the most part. I mean, very rarely does somebody come with me. On a few occasions, I've gone and know somebody where I'm traveling to, and we'll maybe grab dinner or something. But for the most part, I do these turnaround trips. I just went to Philadelphia last week, about a week ago, week and a half ago, and I flew to Philadelphia. I had to take two flights to get there, and I got in a car and drove almost 3 hours. Stayed in the hotel by myself, you know, went to eat by myself, got up, delivered my talk, got back in the car and replayed the whole thing coming back. That's, you know, so I do a lot of that sort of out of necessity, but I've learned to enjoy it too. You know, I've learned to write while I'm on the airplane, or I've learned to listen to audiobooks in the car. And so I do find that that isn't as isolating.
Is that something that's like integral? I mean, we're talking about self-love. So is that something that like might makes you happy? Are you just doing that as part of your work?
I found a way to make that more happy. How's that? I've been on the road so much that there was 1 year I was on the road for like a total of 100 days, you know, it's like intermittent. And it's a lot. It's very discombobulating, like, you know, the time zones and where you're eating and where you're sleeping and living out of a bag. And I used to get really sort of upset about traveling alone in those cases. And then I shifted it and I was like, well, why am I doing this if it's not fun? I mean, the speaking was fun, but the traveling wasn't. So I'm like, what can I do to make the traveling more fun? And so I found ways to do that. So when I'm like in an area and I get there, I always try to find like a local restaurant that's like really hip and cool and has really great reviews. And I like to, sometimes if the weather permits, I like to hike or walk in the area. So I found ways to integrate the things that I love when I'm doing those trips that are, you know, more business-like. To be happier. I think if I had to choose whether or not I did those, I would choose teleportation over that traveling.
Right. Well, yeah, because that stuff's not fun.
No. So I found a way.
I think everybody would.
Yeah.
Like some things are just a necessary part of getting to where you want to be and doing the actual thing you want to do. But that's like your work. I mean, that's your choice also too, you know?
Right. But it is interesting because I did shift, right? Like, because I was sort of forced to solo travel for what, you know, I was opting to do it. But in order to do the speaking, which I love, I had to travel. But I had to have a mindset shift around it because I was getting really resentful every time I had to get on an airplane. And trust me, I've seen the weirdest things happen, lightning cracking down and, you know, splitting the runway right as we're about to land and getting rerouted to another state, taking a taxi through the night to make it to my speaking engagement. I mean, I've seen it all. And, you know, so, but I've had to shift my mindset. And that's really the self-growth for me is like, okay, if I'm going to continue to choose to do this endeavor and it's going to be alone, I might as well make the most of it. And so I've been trying my best to reach out to anyone and everyone on site and like together and have meals with them and take advantage of if they want to give me a campus tour or whatever. I mean, and then just enjoy myself.
Right. That's smart.
Yeah.
Smart. I mean, I don't think I'd like that to travel for work.
No.
Unless it was luxurious, you know, or something, which I've never experienced luxuriousness, but I just don't think that would be my thing.
Yeah, it's funny because like some of the places I'll go will be, I'll stay in a, you know, 1-star hotel off the freeway, you know, and it's, and then, but there's other ones where they put me up in these amazing resorts, right? And that's when I say like, you know, call somebody, you should be here with me. Like you know, this is so cool. You should see they've got 9 pools or something, you know, and then I'm there by myself. And so I have to just figure out how to, you know, what can I do to enjoy it alone?
To go to those pools?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I'll go do those things. Yeah. I try to hit up as much as I can wherever I am, really, which is fun. But anyway, so yeah, so I think that's more like for me, the growth was the mindset shift in the travel that I needed to do. But let's talk about optional travel, though. You asked a good question about there are some people out there that need to take like solo trips in order to replenish, right? Or refuel.
Right.
And you're not one of those.
No. Mm-mm. Don't care. Yeah.
No.
Like if I have to go alone, I mean, I don't even mean to say if I have to. I've gone many places alone and been totally fine with it. It does not bother me to go alone, but I wouldn't choose to leave the people I want to hang out with alone. You know, I wouldn't be like, oh, I have to go. You know, I need to get out and travel. I need to, you know, be by myself. I'm not that kind of person at all.
No.
No.
Yeah, I know some people like in couples who they each take their annual trip, you know, during the year and they go.
I would never do that.
Because they want to go either with friends or they go by themselves or whatever, but they don't go with each other, you know, to.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't do that in my relationship. No, there's no way.
Well, what if there was somewhere you really, 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 really wanted to go and your wife would not go with you?
Well, that wouldn't ever happen. So would go. She would go anywhere. And yes, I wouldn't go. I don't care. I wouldn't go without her. Why would I want to go somewhere that then why would I be there enjoying it when she's not there? I wouldn't enjoy it as much. And then I would like be like, oh, I want you to see this. You know what I mean? She wouldn't be like that. She would never be like that. She would go. I mean, we're constricted by work and pet sitting and, you know, children's schedules, but that's it. Not by desire, you know? It wouldn't happen. It would never happen.
But there's no one else you'd want to travel with?
Ugh, no. Why on the earth would I want to be with somebody else instead of my wife? No. Mm-mm.
I don't know. Nope. I love traveling with different people for different reasons.
No. Nope. No, I wouldn't. It would gross me out and I would be sad.
What about when you were single?
Single, fine. But I didn't really need to be with other people either. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like that. Like, it's not, if I'm like, okay, I want to go do this hike or I want to do this thing, then I'll go with somebody else. But it's not like, I don't sit around and plan these like things. I mean, I've worked in Nepal, you know, and I did all the traveling myself and then I was at base camp working, but like, I didn't need anybody there. You know what I mean? It's like opportunities present themselves and I would take advantage of it. But at this point, I wouldn't. Like, there's nothing I would want to do. There's not one trip or anything I'd want to do that didn't involve my wife. And I would never be. Number one, she would never say, like, I don't want to go there. And then two, I would never want to go without her. And I would never want to travel with other people. Gross. That just grosses me out.
You and I are so different because, you know, I travel with everybody, anybody. I've shared beds with people. I don't care.
No.
I'm like, and I pile into a hotel room and there are people that I enjoy doing certain things with. Like I'm going on a trip for, you know, in early January, I'm going to go to Cancun with a friend of mine. We're sharing a room but I'm going on a trip this week with the person that I'm dating and I'm in a relationship with. But I'll take trips with different people. And I went to Europe and I stayed with one friend and then I like went and, you know what I mean? Like I'm constantly traveling with different people.
Yeah, you're like that. I'm no way, not in my current situation. I wouldn't want to. It would just gross me out. And then I'd just be sad the whole time. Nope.
You'd be sad though. See, I miss people, but I like have so many people.
No, I'd be so sad.
Fulfill
I
me.
I couldn't handle it. Yeah. Nope.
That's so interesting.
I wouldn't do it. I would never do it. She would never not go somewhere. And then there would be no enjoyment there for me. I would have zero enjoyment. I mean,
why would
I went
there's
to
only
LA,
one person? Yeah, but only one person that you can enjoy life with? There's no one else.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. That's
I'm like
that's
that.
Good to know
I'm
about
like,
yourself.
Yeah. It's that's, true.
I mean,
in the current situation I'm in, yes. That's like the only thing I want. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Now in past different, but yeah, no, I just can't even imagine. I can't even fathom that. Like there's just no way. And we're looking at going to Thailand in the spring. So I wouldn't, I want to go back to Thailand, but not without her. No way.
Yeah. Okay.
I just won't go. I won't go. If we can't make it happen with us and all of the kids, then it won't happen. And I'll just wait. I mean, if I have to wait 9 years.
Okay. I mean,
does it surprise you?
I mean, no, it doesn't in some ways, but it's just very different than how I show up in the world.
Polar opposites.
Yeah.
In some ways.
I mean, I will go travel wherever with whoever, like I'm going on a trip in the spring In Europe with my daughter, just her and I. Like, I mean, I love those. I love those yeah. kind of trips. I love group trips. I'm going to Sedona with some people in February, and that's going to be fun. And it just, I like friend trips. I like partner trips. I like partner friend trips. I like daughter trips. I like all sorts of fun things. I have a lot of people that I just enjoy spending time with, and I like doing different things with them, you know? So, you know,
I like talking to them on the phone or meeting for pickleball or dinner, but not traveling with. No, that would gross me out. Yeah. I mean, I'd be sad.
Well, and for me, it's kind of like depends on what we want to do, right? Like, right. There's things like I can tell you, I don't love camping. And I dated someone once who loved camping, and I just didn't want to go. Like, I just don't like camping. And so she would go by herself or mostly with friends, and right. I didn't go. And I didn't feel bad. She didn't feel bad. It would be worse if I went and was like complained the whole time about how much I don't like camping. So you just kind of learn what I like or the destinations I would want to go to. You know, some people don't want to go to those.
Yeah, more about the experience. Like, it wouldn't be worth it to me to be without her somewhere. I wouldn't like it. I know myself, I wouldn't enjoy it. And I'd be pining. I'd be like, oh, I wish I was home or wish she was here. And then I would not have any fun. And I know there's nothing I care about enough. I mean, I care about the sanctuary, but she wants to go to the elephant sanctuary. So it's a win-win. We just have to make it happen, you know?
Okay. So when we're talking about the power of traveling alone, you're basically saying you don't ever imagine yourself traveling alone ever again the rest of your life. You just won't go.
Well, I'm married and I hope we're together for the rest of our lives and that we die on the same day. But like, I mean, that's the thing. No, I wouldn't. I don't envision myself. No, I have no interest, no desire. If she can't go, then I don't want to go.
Okay. But your solo travels that you've done before, what have you learned about yourself in doing those?
I mean, I'm a very like capable human being, right? And it is very cool to be in the world. And I mean, it's not like I don't want to see the world, but like our circumstances are such that this is not going to happen for 9 years, you know? So I just accept that. And it's like, okay, well, those places will still be there in 9 years if I'm still alive to go there, you know?
Yeah. But have you learned anything?
There's nothing that I care about that much.
But think about the past instead of the future. So the past, when you have traveled alone, what kinds of things have you learned about yourself?
I mean, I feel like I don't, it's not like people will be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you go alone. And I'm like, again, I'm not really alone, right? Especially if I'm going to, I mean, when I went to Peru I went on a hiking, you know, I mean, yeah, a lot of people showed up as either pairs or a group of people. And there I was by myself, but I don't care. It's like we're in a group to hike together. I mean, I did hike in front of like hours ahead of everybody. And I was just not, I didn't feel the need to wait for somebody because I was still in a group. You know what I mean? So like I knew when I got to camp, like the camp would be set up because the porters had gone ahead and I did get scolded. You know, the guy was like, come on. Cause I got bored sitting and listening to their talks in the jungle about, you know, this ruin and that ruin. I really didn't care at that point. Like, to me, it was more about the exercise. And it was funny because I set up my roommate's, I had her tent or her, we were sharing a tent and I had her sleeping bag and her pillow and her everything ready for her. And they got there 2 or 3 hours after me and she was so happy. And when we went around the table that night at the camping thing, she was like, I'm so grateful for it. Cause we went around talking about gratitude or what was our favorite thing of the day. And is that, you know, her everything was already made up for her when she got there.
Well, that's cool.
So it's like, you know, I mean, then I just sat in the camp by myself because it's not like I was talking to the porters. They didn't want to talk to me, you know. And I mean, I lived, you know, I worked at base camp twice and it was with, you know, all pretty much there were a couple, you know, Westerners there. But otherwise, it's Nepalese people and we don't speak the same language. And I mean, I'm like totally capable of that, you know, sitting around, like literally not having nothing to talk about. I mean, having no way to talk about. I guess it's not that we had nothing to talk about, but no way to talk about whatever. And I would just hang out in the kitchen with them, you know. I lived in Cambodia. I found ways to like connect with people no matter what, like even in the short 3 months that I'm there, whatever. I make connections with local people, you know, who see me coming or, you know, like I would repeatedly go to the same places and whether there was a language barrier or not. So none of that scares me. You know, the only thing that scares me in the world would be like, you know, war, violence or whatever. But
okay. So things that you've learned in the past is how important connection is to you. So like when you've been by yourself, you wanted to connect with the locals, you wanted to connect with other people. And that's really, that's important to you, but it's also some of your own personal goals are really important to you. Even if it's not the group goals, like you wanted to go faster when you were hiking versus going slower. And that sort of trumped maybe any connection you would have chatting with someone on the hike. But when you got to camp, you were open to talking with people, you had your tent mate and all of that. I mean, those are good things. I mean, you know, when I travel alone, which I still do, and I still will do both socially and for work is, you know, there's things that I've learned about myself. Because I have spent the last almost 30 years of my life living with somebody, whatever relationship that was in. And I've had small pockets of time in between, but a lot of times I've lived with someone. I've lived with my daughter. She's 16. So I've had someone in my space a lot. And so when I travel by myself, it's kind of cool to see what I've compromised over the years and what's actually mine, right? Like the thermostat. I know exactly what temperature I want the thermostat at. I walk, the very first thing I do when I get to a hotel is I go right to the thermostat and I turn it on exactly the temperature that I want. And I'm traveling by myself. I don't have to ask you, are you hot or are you cold? Do you want the bed by the window? Do you want the bed by the bathroom? I just pick the bed by the bathroom. That's where I always sleep because I sleep on the left side of the bed and I want the nightstand on my left side so I can put my glasses there. Mm-hmm. Like I know, I pick the same seats whenever I fly. I'm in the window seat. I'm either 9A or 10A, whichever one I can get every single time. So I always do the same things. And when I go on a road trip and I drive for like 5 or 6 hours and I'm hungry and I want a meal, I never go to a drive-thru. I always go to like a restaurant. And maybe it's one that I order at the counter or maybe I order from a server, but I sit down and I have an actual meal. And then I get back and I drive. And people are like, why do you do that? Why can't you just get a sandwich and drive? I don't want to do that. And I've realized over the years by traveling by myself, these are the things that I actually like. And and so I do them and I do them sort of habitually. But it's given me sort of agency to say, these are the things that I want. So when I do travel with others, I say, I'm going to be sitting in seat 9A. If you'd like to sit in 9B, you're welcome to sit next to me. Or if you want a window seat or an aisle seat, you can find a seat wherever you'd like to sit. But before I'd be like, oh, I'll just like fit wherever, you know, because let's compromise. I don't want to compromise. I want to sit in seat 9A. And so,
wow.
Yeah. But I'm pretty
good. You're so different.
Yeah.
So but it's probably because you travel more often.
Yeah. And I have rituals. I have the same exact things.
Yeah. I know some now thinking about this when we went to LA or in June or wherever in May of this year. And you did sleep in the bed that was a queen bed by the bathroom. And I slept on a bunk bed on the lower bunk that I think had like pee-pee sheets on it, you know, those like, it was making noise. Like,
right.
What is that called? Like the bedspread or the
protector.
Mattress pad. What do I care? I don't care. See, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care, whatever, you know?
And I mean, in the grand scheme, I don't care either. I'm willing to compromise. But being by myself enough, I can see where my preferences are. I walk into a room and there's the bunk bed and there's the queen bed. I want the queen bed, right? Or like, again, getting on an airplane. I am very, very discombobulated if I have to sit on the other side of the plane because I'm right-handed. And I use my computer and my right hand is my mouse hand. And so I like that arm to be next to the middle seat. If I'm on the other side of the plane, it rams into the side of the wall where the window is.
Interesting.
So I've learned that over time. It's just absolutely not comfortable for me to sit in those seats. So yeah, but I mean, these are like weird little things. And so is it self-growth? I don't know, but it's agency. It's clarity. It's like, these are like little things that are important to me. And so they make my traveling much more pleasant.
Well, that makes sense now that you're talking about it, because you'll actually sit on a plane and type on a computer. I can't even, I cannot even open a computer on a plane.
Yeah. I mean, I do that. I love being on long flights because then I get a lot done that's uninterrupted.
I just watch TV and TV and TV.
Oh, and I can't sleep.
No way.
Either. So I get work done. I mean, I have a very, very, I don't know, kind of, like I said, habitual structure for when I travel alone. And then when I travel with others, I tend to do some of these things and I have to almost introduce it like, hey, just so you know, if we're going to be doing this really long road trip and I'm driving, I'm going to want to stop after 5 or 6 hours and like eat something for real because I'm the one doing the driving, you know? if you're driving, I don't care. You can put chips and salsa in your mouth all you want. I don't care. But for me, this is what I need. And so I found that I've had more kind of confidence in being able to assert myself by learning more about what my preferences are when I travel alone.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. I used to, this is also a funny one, because I go to restaurants a lot by myself, for when I would travel, but sometimes even in town, I'm like, oh, I feel like I want to have this for lunch today. And I'll go and take myself to a restaurant. It's interesting how often if you go somewhere where there's like a bar, like Chili's or something, and there's a bar and then there's a restaurant, and they immediately want to sit all the single people in the bar. Like, oh, I'm going to take you to the bar. I'm like, no, can I have a table, please? And they're like, oh, okay. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be in the loud bar at the bar where everybody's drinking and watching some sports game.
Right, sports game.
Yeah, so I want to go sit in a table. And so I used to sit at the bar because I thought it was like convenient for everybody.
Ugh, I would never go into a restaurant.
And then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And so now I'm like, no, I'm going to sit there. And then they're always like, oh, they always come over. They're like, we're going to get that right out for you. I'm like, I'm not embarrassed to be here by myself. I'm not in a hurry.
Right.
Just, you know.
Interesting.
But that's changed over time for me too, where I've asserted myself in those situations. Like, I'm not embarrassed to be here for lunch by myself. They say like,
I just find it uncomfortable, like, and boring and like gross. Like, I was driving across the country and I stopped at usually I was just eating fast food. And then I stopped at a Olive Garden, which was the best that I could get as a vegan. And it just was gross.
You didn't like the experience of being by yourself?
No. Right? And I was like, this is such a waste of my time. And I wanted to leave. And then I was like, give me the bill. I just want to get out of here. And I just was like, ugh, it's been so much better. The food wasn't any better than just getting a Subway sandwich and keep on moving. Yeah. I prefer just to keep on moving. So unless it's a vegan place and I'm with somebody, but I mean, again, like I'm not a food motivated person. I don't really care. Like, I don't care about that stuff. It's really, you know, unless I'm there somewhere, then I do want to go to specific places, but it's not like and when I've traveled with the dogs, I sit in the car and eat, you know, or sit where I can see them. So like, I think it's just because you travel a lot.
Right. I have these rituals and things that I do and, you know, but it's interesting because you talked about how when you've traveled, you did like, you know, went to Machu Picchu, it was on a guided tour. So you did have a group at some point, you know, and 99% of what I do isn't with a group. It's by myself. But I did go on a group trip this summer. I went to Iceland and did a trek there. It was like 5 days and 4 nights. But I went out like 5 days early. And then I went sightseeing and by myself. I stayed by myself. I went to eat by myself. You know, hiking by myself, I did everything. And, you know, I almost didn't go early because I was like, I don't know if I want to be by myself. But then I refer to it now as my healing moon. It was like really good for me to be in a foreign country by myself for that many days. I mean, I saw people, I'd go like to the hot springs and, you know, but I didn't talk to a lot of people. But the trek was cool because I got to meet people and I ended up like making friends and that didn't feel solo at all. It felt like I was with a group of friends. But
well, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, the guided tour I went on for Machu Picchu, you know, it was the Inca Trails. So it was hiking days before that. But I was alone before and after that trip, you know, and then made friends and went and did other activities or went out, you know, by myself to do stuff. Like, it does not bother me. But I wouldn't, like, I don't think I'd, unless it was something I really wanted to, like a vegan restaurant, you know, where the only option was sit down. But otherwise, I don't really care.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, I'm going to sit here and enjoy this meal by myself. No. See, I would find that awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah. Even though I'm an extrovert, I still enjoy that too, you know?
A meal by yourself.
Yeah, I do. Because I get to pick where I want to go eat. I don't have to like compromise on it. You know, I may have my heart set on like Indian food and then I'm with somebody and by the time we end up at a restaurant, we're like, you know, getting Chinese food. And I'm like, how did that happen? I don't want that. You know, so I like being able to pick what I want to eat, go where I want to go. It just, yeah, like I said, it gives me a lot of agency. And so I think for like our listeners out there is thinking about, you know, different types of solo travel, right? Like there's solo travel where you're totally by yourself and you go on a vacation. Like I went to Iceland The first part of it, I didn't know anybody and I just vacationed by myself.
Mm-hmm.
The second kind is you go on a trip where you might travel alone, but then you meet somebody where you're going. You stay with family or if you see a friend. So you have interaction when you get somewhere and then you travel back by yourself. And then the third one is where you actually go on like a guided tour with someone. So you're or a group. So you might travel alone somewhere, but then you're with a group for 5 or 6 days and then you travel back alone. So it just depends on to what comfort level and what you want to get out of that solo travel. You know, is it a means to an end? Like you got to travel in order to go on this group trip, you know, you don't have to travel solo, or is it that like, you're really, you know, you don't mind that. And then you can add, like I did, add on some days. So.
Well, and I don't believe that like everybody needs to go do solo travel or whatever. If it's going to make them so uncomfortable. I mean, people say, oh, you need to push yourself. But I don't know that everybody needs to push themselves in life, because sometimes it can just be so uncomfortable. And there's times, I mean, I've been sick in other countries in Guatemala by myself, you know, where it, like you're by yourself. And like, is this fun? Or working abroad? And it's like, do I really want to be here? You know?
Right. Right. You have to.
I mean, I don't think people should like feel pressured to have to travel alone or have to get out and do things to like, you know, push their comfort zone.
No. But I do think on the flip side that if there's something you really want to do or somewhere you really want to go, that you shouldn't be held back by fear alone.
Yes, I agree with that. So if there's something you want to do
that
is going to make you feel happier or more fulfilled, then you should do it, whether anyone wants to do it with you or not, because you'll find a way to get through it. And, you know, I'm on that solo over 50 travel, and there are people who are like, oh my God, I'm having this miserable experience. And then people say, okay, well, try to focus on this. Or the first couple of days you get there, it's really hard. You know, you're in a totally foreign place and you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to meet anybody or talk to anybody, or I don't know what I'm doing. And I think, you know, that's, it is nice to have those communities, even online community, that can help you, you know, work through things. Because it is hard. It's not easy. It's not easy being in foreign places, you know, where you really are like out of your element. I mean, there are some, you know, cultures so different from ours that you're like, what is happening here? And it feels very scary or isolating, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that, the online groups. And you know, there's also, you know, again, if it's like kind of a hybrid thing where you've always wanted to go to Italy or something, and you can find a tour, you know, where you meet up with people who are also maybe a bunch of solo travelers or people who are at least willing to be in a group, do a multi-day one, or even you could go somewhere if you really always wanted to go to Italy, but you're not going to do like a multi-day trip of sorts, is plan like a day tour for each of the days. And then you get to interact with people and go see something. So you're not totally by yourself.
Well, I think that if something is calling you, if you really want to do something in your life, you shouldn't not do it just because you don't have someone to do it with. But I don't think that you need to go and force yourself to go and do something just because, you know, other people do it.
I would totally agree with you. I would totally
agree. But don't, I mean, you see that on that solo over 50, all these women have been held back for so long by like their husband or something who didn't want to do stuff. So they didn't do it. And I see that in, you know, divorcing women. It's like, oh, I didn't live my life, or I didn't do all these things because my husband didn't want to. So that's where like, no, just go and do it, you know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Go and do what you want to do.
When I decided to go to Iceland, I had actually read some article that said like National Geographic's top 10 trails to hike in your lifetime. And the Laugavegur Trail in Iceland was on that list. And I'm like, you know what? I really want to go do this. And I just decided to do it. And, you know, being in a relationship at the time, I didn't invite that person. I didn't invite any friends at the time. I was like, I'm just going to go do this because I want to go.
Wait a minute. You did invite that person.
Well,
That person didn't want to go. And you went anyway.
Yes. But there was a moment before that where I decided to go, regardless if that invitation was accepted or not. So I decided to go. And then I said something to her and I said, if you want to go, let's talk about that, but I'm going. So yes, there was an invitation, but I had already decided that my going was not
continuing. No matter what, you were going.
Yeah, on her invitation. Mm-hmm. So yes, I did invite her in the very early stages. I never left her out. And then months later, I had a friend of mine mention like, oh, I would love to do that. And I said, okay, we'll sign up for it. Right. Like, so my whole point was my travel to Iceland was not contingent upon anybody else's decision to join me, even though eventually I, you know, there were invites put out. But same thing with Romania. I just went and hiked in Romania and I hired a private guide because I don't want to get lost in the Transylvanian Alps by myself.
Right.
I was mentioning to someone, to a friend in August, and, you know, and she's like, I'm going to go. Like, yeah. Okay, cool. And
but let's say you had wanted to just do that on your own and somebody said, I want to go. What would you say? Like, if this was a solo journey, would you turn that person? Would you just say, look, this is a trip I want to do on my own?
Yeah.
Like, this is my bucket list to be by myself.
Yeah. If it was somebody I didn't want to go with, or it was a trip that I didn't want to do, like.
But let's say it's somebody you would want to go with, but you had, like, in your mind that this is going to be a solo trip and you wanted that to explore whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I did that with Disney World.
Would you be able to say?
Yeah, I did that with the Disney World the second time when everybody was interested in going with me. And I was like, no, you're not invited. I'm going and doing this by myself. So, yeah, I would absolutely say that to someone. And I had someone recently say, oh, I want to hike the Grand Canyon with you. And I was like, no. I don't want to hike it with her. She's really, really slow. It would be a lot of work for me. I was like, that's, you know, but I didn't tell her that. I just said, oh, okay. But yeah, well, maybe there's some other folks that would do it, you know, some beginners or whatever, but no, you know, but I would rather go with other people, not by myself. But yeah, I would say if it's a solo thing that I wanted to do, like others aren't invited, I would just tell them. But in the case of Romania, I was like super excited because the person who wanted to go with me, we hike very similarly. We have a lot in common. So it made a lot of sense to say, yeah, yeah. Because the idea of being stuck with this like Romanian man for 3 days on a mountain was also like, in some ways, more pressure than just being by myself. Like, do I make small?
But you do see these things on the chat groups and stuff, like where people are like, well, I planned this, you know, intentionally to be a solo trip. And now my sister-in-law wants to come or something, you know?
Right, exactly. So do you tell them? I mean, I would say, no, you can't come. Or, yeah, you can. But the thing is if you tell your sister-in-law she can't come and then you bring Susie Q, your next door neighbor.
Well, right, right. But you have to say, like, this is the trip that I planned to intentionally be a solo trip.
Right.
And there are a lot of people who want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I will tell you that even though I didn't want it at the time, my 5 days in Iceland before my trek was really, I needed that and I needed to be alone. And so I didn't know at the time I did, but looking back, I can say there are going to be moments where I might need to have a solo trip.
Yeah.
And that's okay. That's okay.
Yes, it's okay. That's the thing. It's okay.
It's okay if you want to travel alone. It's okay if you don't. I mean, some people go into the solo traveling with sort of a personal development agenda. Like, I'm going to conquer something that I didn't think I could conquer before. Or I'm going through a heartache or heartbreak and I need to sit with myself and be alone in a space where I'm uncomfortable so I can push myself to show up and be who I know I can be, or, you know, whatever it is, right? Or I want to make new connections, or I want to find love. Like, people have sometimes a goal for their self, like their solo travel.
Well, yeah, like in the past when I was single, I wanted to go to Mount Fuji. So I just, it turned out I couldn't go because the whole COVID thing was still happening in Japan and their restrictions, but I planned that trip. I'd already bought the tickets. You know, I had to get a refund. That. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't care. I didn't care if anybody went. I was just going to go and do it because I really wanted to hike Mount Fuji. Now, yeah, I still want to hike Mount Fuji, but I don't want to do it without my wife. So we'll just make it happen. It might be 9-10 years from now, you know, but it will happen.
Right.
I'll still be there.
Yeah.
Is it a volcano that explodes? I don't know.
Well, I mean, and your intention for going at the beginning was because you just wanted to go up Mount Fuji. So if you go later on, your intention is to go up Mount Fuji. But some people, like when they go on these treks or they go in these places and they go to the traveling, they have some kind of a more immediate goal in mind. Like, I want to deal with my divorce, you know. But so if they wait 2 years, they're not dealing with their divorce. That's not why they're going anymore. It changes. It was interesting when I went to Iceland this summer, we were on the trek and there were 16 of us on the trek and we had a guide with us and everybody had, for the most part, had signed up for the trek like almost a year before we went. Some even signed up longer than that. And there were reasons for signing up to go. And many of them went, like, they would go with a friend or they would knew somebody, or some of them went by themselves, but they all had a reason for going that had changed since the time that since the time they registered to when we went. So like one person had signed up for one reason and then she experienced a divorce somewhere in the middle of it. And so she was going on the trek and dealing with the divorce, and someone else had been in an accident. And, you know, so it was interesting to see how people's intentions around why they took that trip changed, but they still found a way to get something out of it that they needed for their immediate time.
And some people might just cancel, you know, their life changes and they're just like, no, can't do it, you know?
Right. Right.
And that's okay. That's the thing. I feel like it's okay. You know, you don't have to feel pressure to have to do something or have to have this great epiphany, go on a trip and have a great epiphany, you know, like you can have an epiphany at your house if you want to.
Well, and there's no guarantee that you're going to have an epiphany on a very expensive vacation either. I mean, you could be going and looking for, you know, confidence or love or peace or whatever. And you go on this trip and you come back and you feel still just as unsettled as you did when you left. I mean, there's no guarantee that travel will do that. It's just that it does give you a little bit of space away from your day-to-day routine to, you know, allow yourself to sit with feelings or explore your thoughts or whatever. Right. So it's a catalyst, but it isn't a guarantee.
Right.
Yeah.
It is never. Is anything ever a guarantee?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Nothing is a guarantee in this world.
Yes. So if you're at a point where you say you would never travel without your wife. So say you did travel together. Would you ever, other than spending time together and seeing your location that you're going to, could you ever imagine yourself having like a goal or a purpose in that trip, like to reconnect or to learn a language or to, you know, or would it just be to spend time together and see where we're going?
No, I mean, I could imagine that, yeah, it'd be to, especially when, you know, there's three kids involved, like either, I mean, well, bringing the kids, there'd have to be a purpose, in my opinion, like a greater purpose for the trip. But like, okay, do we just go and take a trip by ourselves, you know? But that's almost just as complicated to try and figure out how to get, you know, kids and dogs watched at home. So, I mean, I do think like intention for trips. I mean, I'm all about the elephants. So whether it's going to Thailand or I have friends in Bangladesh now, transforming the lives of elephants there. And I know a lot of elephant, you know, people now, rescuers. So, I mean, that's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Dolomites in Italy, but, and hike those, but.
It's on my list too.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I really want to do that. And I have been around the world and, you know, I want to share that with her. So, I mean, I've lived in places for months at a time and I've done work in other countries and I enjoy it, but I've also like, you know, I'm the one who got dogs. I have two dogs. And so it makes it harder. You know, I mean, it's weird. I have always had this tension between what do I want to be, the person who's traveling and living on the backpack. You know, I met a friend in Thailand who's doing that. And since we were hanging out, I think the last time I was there was 8 months ago. And she's been in Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka, Japan. She's in Japan currently. And, you know, that's her life choice that she made to just travel solo. And she's been doing it for years now. And she loves it. And her pictures are awesome. Oh, and she went to the Seychelles. So, like, you know, I do see that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's my goal for, you know, when the kids are grown or, you know, able to be in school. And if they're in college, then why can't we travel for the months that they're in college, you know? So, like, again, it's like, do we gear our lives towards that and also live in the meantime? You know, I don't want to like just, you know, plan for the future. But I mean, I like to have trips that have purpose. So I've, you know, stayed in Nicaragua and Guatemala for months, and that was to be in Spanish immersion school, right? So I worked in Cambodia. I worked in Nepal. I like, you know, I volunteer in Thailand. I mean, I've taken trips where it's simply just a trip, and I don't enjoy that as much. I really don't.
Okay.
I get way more enjoyment out of there being a higher purpose.
Yeah.
Volunteer work or working, you know, or internship or something.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
I mean, that's cool. Thinking about what is your purpose behind the trip.
Yeah.
One of the things I had thought about particularly with like more like recreational travel and going in around the world and seeing places is like, it's like, oh, I want to go to this particular country. And then I try to find like the highest mountain or the coolest trail or a national park or something there. And then I center my whole trip around that.
Right.
So that it's like, you know, like the purpose is to go for that. And then everything else is just icing on the cake. And that way I can kind of see what the kind of the hype of that country is when it comes to the outdoors. And that's been a real good like beacon for me. I've been able to do, you know, national parks, three national parks in Croatia, and I've been able to hike the highest peak in Costa Rica and, you know, the hike through the Andes Mountains on the in Patagonia. And so that's kind of a neat way that I create purpose is by connecting to the land and the space of those countries. Not just sort of showing up and being like, what are we going to do next? But really centered right. around that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's those people who like to go on cooking tours, cultural tours, art tours. You know, I had right. neighbors in Seattle who would go, who were both architects, and all they wanted to do was show us pictures of doors when they got back. But they love that. They just went around taking pictures of the architecture.
Yeah, that's cool.
I would be falling asleep watching your slideshow, you know? Like, right. just different. But, like, all yeah. my pictures are of people or animals.
Yeah.
And all their pictures were of doorways. And it's like, it doesn't matter. It's like, what is it for you? You know, right.
what's your purpose, whether you're going yeah. by yourself or whether you're going with someone right. else, what is your purpose? And I think that's also important. Like if you're going to go on a solo trip, you can be very clear about what your purpose is and try to fulfill that. But if you're going with someone else, it's also nice to kind of talk about, do you have a shared purpose for being there?
Right.
You know, I've traveled with people who I wanted to go hiking when we got there and they wanted to go shopping.
Right.
And it was like,
it's not gonna work.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yeah. So either we spend time apart or we figure something else out. And so, or we don't go to that place together. We go do something
right.
else. And so, but it's also, that's really good to consider is what is your purpose for traveling? And are, have you, if you've been maybe coupled for a really long time, have you been sharing that with someone else and maybe falling more into their purpose versus yours? And then you're on a solo right. trip and you're like, wow, I'd really rather do this. And I've not been doing this the whole time. I've always wanted to go to the art museum in town and they never wanted to go to museums. And now you're like, I'm going to every art museum I can find.
Well, I think doing divorce work, that's what I saw with the people who'd been together for decades, right? They just mm-hmm. got at some point tired of that. And they wanted to go and do the things they wanted to do without having to feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, here's the thing yeah. about a healthy relationship,
or to have
too,
somebody
is
with them.
You can also decide to go do those things while you're in the relationship. It's okay to do those things. If you and your wife decide that that's not what you want to do, that's a decision between the two of you and you're both happy with it. But if you're in a partnership and one person wants to go see the world and the other one wants to stay home, that's
right.
that's a soul searching thing. That person who doesn't go out and see the world is going to feel resentful. So do it now. Go alone. Go with a friend. Maybe you can share so many pictures that your partner says, okay, I'll go with you on the next one. I just don't like flying.
Or they don't want to go. And then there's people who then take, you know, they just sign up for those group,
yeah.
you know, trips. And it
exactly.
works. And then the other person stays home and everybody's happy, you know?
Right. Exactly. I mean, I and this is on a much smaller level, but, you know, we have a friend of ours who is kind of like, she's my long distance hiking pal. She's done a bunch of the Arizona Trail with me. And my partner at the time was like not really interested in hiking 30 miles in a day. And so
mm-hmm.
I would go with this other friend and we did a bunch of stuff. So I didn't not go.
Right.
And my partner didn't keep me back. You know, we just
right.
knew that we had different interests. And so, but that's also important because if I didn't go do those things, I probably, and I wanted to, I would feel
You'd
pretty
be,
resentful.
Yes.
So.
Yes, and that would not be self-love to deprive yourself of something.
Exactly, exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't feel deprived, even though
no.
I know, okay, circumstances are such that it may not be feasible for a while. Would I like it to be that money, time, and all that was an issue? Sure, but that's not reality. So.
Right, exactly. So, but if you feel satisfied and your partner feels satisfied and you feel like neither of you are deprived in choosing
right.
what you're doing, there's not an issue. But if it's one of
right.
you, it feels like they're trying to bust out of the chains of this, you know, the monotony and wants to go do
right.
all these things and the partner doesn't want to, then you really got to explore that a little bit because there are options to go alone on the travels or go with groups
right.
or go with even other people. But, denying yourself something that you want so badly is not really the best form of self-love.
Right. I agree.
So, All right. Well, we covered a lot of ground today, basically figured out you and I definitely travel very differently. We've only traveled a couple times together. So it's very interesting. But I guess we knew that about each other and our travel propensities.
Right.
But yeah, I think the biggest piece is just understanding the clarity of how you like to travel, how you want to travel, how you want to be in the world, whether it's just going out to eat or going on a hike. And figure that out for yourself, because that's your form of self-love. It's self-clarity, and that leads to loving yourself.
That's right. Doing what you want to do, as long as you're not harming others.
Exactly. All right. Well, to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship, and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.